This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in Take Command podcast. And truth be told, we just talked for an hour. It was a great show. But there's something that we wanted to just hit off the top here, Logan, to make sure that everyone's on the same page on two key things for the Deebo Samuel trade. First and foremost is this trade is not official yet. This trade will be officially processed when the new league year opens. So that is March 12th, which is, I'm sure really fun if like you're a player. I don't think you ever had to deal with that. You were never traded. Were you combine then had to wait two weeks?
Never had to do that, but I'm sure that's a weird technicality with regards to the rules. So
yeah, so that's technically still pending, and they got to do the physicals and all that kind of stuff too. So the chances that it falls apart, very slim, but for official proceedings, we will remind you that that trade is still pending. The other thing too, because we didn't get into this, the contract, and I talked about this a little bit on the emergency pod the other day, but the Commanders are as of now going to take on the full $17 million in salary for Deebo in 2025. They could theoretically agree to an extension and move some of that money around, but that seems to be the plan right now. There's then $31 million of dead cap money. All the void years that were on Deebo's contract get moved up and become dead money for San Francisco this year, but that's their problem, not ours. So with that, plenty of conversation about Deebo, and then we got into the 10 guys that moved the needle on the NFL draft. Here's the show we did that needed the disclaimer. What's up? What's happening? Welcome in Take Command podcast with so much to get to on the heels of the NFL Combine. Logan Paulson there, Craig Hoffman here. We got a trade to talk about. We got prospects to talk about. And we're going to start with the trade, but then we will get to 10 prospects who moved the needle at the NFL Combine in a little bit. Logan, first of all, how was your trip for Indy? We did see each other. We did not get a chance to really do anything because we were ultimately two ships passing in the daytime of the Indianapolis Convention Center.
Yeah, I mean, that first day for us was kind of exemplified the whole trip, man. Like, we got in a little bit later than we thought. Our flight was delayed, so we didn't get our credential right away. That's when you saw me running around taking a tour of the Indianapolis Convention Center. Then they misplaced some of our stuff. So it was just like we were just kind of running around the whole time. So it was a fun trip to kind of see some old friends, some coaches that I know, some scouts that I know, which is always a good time. And it was great to see the prospects. I really thought this year I came out of the evaluation period being like, man, like, this maybe the top isn't as good as it was last year, but there are some guys in the middle, like second to fourth round, maybe fifth round, that you feel like could be good football players and be starters and be contributors to your team. So it's always fun coming out of the combine, seeing that. And the one-to-one stuff is always fun. So overall good, but there was a lot of kind of logistical stuff that just was a huge headache. So glad to be back home and glad to be doing this podcast with you.
Yeah. So I was watching the coverage Saturday night on TV when all of a sudden they tossed to Ian Rappaport and they're like, you know, the San Francisco 49ers have traded wide receiver Deebo Samuel too. And I'm like, this is about to change the trajectory of my day or not. And they said the Washington Commanders. And I was like, time to go do a live stream. And then off I went on that. How was it like being in the building? Because you were watching the workouts, right? When this
I was watching the workouts.
So this is just like start kind of, you know, going around the building. Like, who told you? How did you find out? And then we'll get into the analysis piece.
So yeah, we were actually sitting next to this guy named Jeremy Green who hooked us up big time. Basically, like, we lost all of our podcast stuff for the show that I do for the team, the Ticket to the Draft show. And so he let us come to his house and use his stuff. And he was a great dude. But he's sitting there and he just whips out his phone and goes, "You guys got Deebo Samuel?" And I was like, "What?" And the guy right in front of him turned around and is like, "You work for the Commanders?" And like, it just like immediately, like, kind of not like a wildfire. It was like the second the Twitter notification happened, everybody in our immediate vicinity was like, "You guys got Deebo? What's going on?" Like, what? And I was like, "You guys are technically breaking this to me," because it happened before they did the segment in the stadium. So obviously we kind of talked about it and we Googled it. And then they did that little hit with Rappaport who did it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was up on the screen and he kind of talked through it. And then they've got the subtitles underneath because they don't have any audio in the stadium because they don't want to distract the people working. But it was very fast, very quick. And I thought, well, we'll talk about this when we talk about this on the Take Command show. But you know what I mean? Like it was of the moment of that day, big time. And then obviously, you know, like everything with the NFL, people just move on and they go into different stuff. So especially from different markets.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny because it does exemplify so much what the combine is about. Like, there is these workouts that are happening that are very important for the players. They're very important for the scouts and they're a piece of the draft puzzle. But ultimately, so much of the combine is the NFL gets together and that allows for discussions that may not happen with that kind of speed or that kind of intensity in other places. The timeline of the league year being just a couple weeks away. And I'm guessing that Adam and John Lynch, like, they might have been at a restaurant or a, you know, one of their hotel rooms or the JW Marriott Starbucks, where that, I guess, would be the second most interesting thing that happened last this week, even involving Ian Rappaport. If you know, you know. However this conversation went down, they get the deal done, and ultimately it's Deebo to Washington for a fifth round pick. What's your initial reaction of what this means for Washington, and what kind of questions do you have about this move?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. Like, you know, for people who have never been to the combine and you're huge football fans, you guys should definitely give it a shot 1 year, kind of as like a football mecca, because it gives a lot of context to that stuff that Craig was just talking about. It's like literally every executive, every agent, every coach is here for a certain amount of time. And you see so many conversations, so many like agents kind of like, you know, for example, I've got a really good friend who's an agent and I'm trying to get lunch with him. He's like, "Oh, we'll go at 12. And it's like, "Can we go at 1? I got a meeting with this GM. It's like, "Oh, let's go at 2. I got a meeting with this GM. And you're like, and they're just going through their list of guys. And again, that's part of the deal there. But in terms of the Deebo thing, I think, you know, my mind went through a bunch of different iterations. And initially I kind of was like, "Oh, you know, Deebo looked, you know, he was fine last year, but nothing special." And again, that's why one of the reasons why the trade's even available for them at this point. But then the more that I thought about it, the more I was like, you know, watching through the film, I watched all of 2024 and all of 2023, and just watching his 2023 stuff, I just thought like, this could be a lightning rod for this offense, you know, kind of best case scenario. And I think like, what does this offense do well? It does a really good job of getting guys in space. They run a ton of quick game. And like, what if you were able to increase the efficiency of that by 15 or 20% and not have to do anything schematically different, right? Just get a different person in there. And so the reason I say that is because when you watch Deebo on film, like, is he the most nuanced route runner? No. Is he the most short area quick? No. But is he absolutely dominant with the football in his hands, like breaking tackles, making people miss in space? Like, is he maybe the best space player in the NFL at times? Yes, 100% true. So like, when I see him, forget the game, against Philadelphia, catch a little slammer screen to the offensive left and then break it for 40 yards in 2023, I'm like, the Commanders run that same play. They run that a lot. Or what about the little bubble that he caught versus the Giants that he makes two people miss and then runs for 40 yards for an explosive play? He had 26 explosives in 2023. It's 19 last year, right? So think about just adding a couple explosives to an offense on very little schematic change. Like, you're just doing what you do, right? He runs a lot of deep digs. We run a lot of deep digs. We run a lot of bubbles and like little reverses and shovel passes. He did a ton of that in San Francisco. We do a ton of that here. So to me, it just feels like, again, I think I had to kind of shift my thought process from like thinking like wide receiver, right? Because he's not really that. Like, when you watch him, he's a he's like a souped up running back. And I don't mean that as an indictment of him or a criticism of him. Like, that just speaks to what he does well. Like, when the ball's in his hand, he's electric. He runs like a runner. Like, he's got that kind of ability. Again, the nuanced route running stuff is not always there, not always super high level, but like he runs, again, deep digs. He can run a go. He can run some corners and posts. Like, is it what you want him majoring in? Probably not. I want to find the easiest way to get him to touch the football and then just let him go, because people have a hard time tackling him.
He is good enough as a wide receiver that defenses will treat him as a wide receiver. And that's an important threshold right. to hit, right? It's not like, I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson at this point in his career, right? Like, that's actually a pretty interesting comp for Debo in terms of usage. Yeah. He's been converted more to full-time running back, but like, Cordarrelle Patterson just wasn't ever really good enough as a receiver that defenses really feared him in that way. And then all of a sudden he started playing running back, and I was like, oh, this guy's pretty good at running back. It's almost like the dude with the kick, you know, with the kick return skills, put the ball in his hands and let him act like a kick returner. He might be good in not special teams. And Debo's got a little bit of that, but he's more souped up as a receiver to where he can run those deeper digs. He can hit you on some of those routes down the field, but that is definitely not where he is. I think Kime had this stat on his show that since they both entered the league in 2019, Debo has like 9 passes of 25 or more air yards caught. Terry has 26, I think were the two numbers. So he's not a guy that's going to get down the field on those posts, on those corners, especially on those go balls. You just loft it out there and let him run underneath it. He was a 4.48 guy coming out of South Carolina, and I doubt it he could run a 4.48 now. It's just realistically not where he's at. But he, unlike a lot of guys who lead the NFL in explosive plays, will catch the ball, run through people, and get the 25 plus yards or whatever, 15 plus yards, whatever the threshold is for whichever version of the explosive play stat you're using to get those explosive plays. And that is something this offense had at points last year. Like, Diami did a decent job of that at times. Eckler did a decent job of that at times. But like, what if you melded those two into one player? And that's kind of what you have now in Debo. It doesn't solve your wide receiver two problem. They still need to figure out someone who's going to line up outside opposite of Terry on most snaps. But as a, you know, we talk about adding juice to the offense, they've added juice to the offense as long as he comes in shape. And we can talk about that more in a second.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we talked a lot about, you know, I was doing my draft prep, talking about Xavion Williams from TCU, the receiver. He's 6'3", 222, ran a 4.49 at the combine, excuse me. And he's got that running back receiver crossover. And I thought, man, that would be great if you drafted him to, again, kind of soup up the running back position, soup up a little bit at the wide receiver spot, but he's not a true wideout. And to me, this is kind of the same thing, except you've got a guy who's done it at the NFL level and is very, very good at it. Now, you know, I don't know how much he'll be playing running back in this offense. I do think it's something they should definitely explore. I think it's something that, like, again, you want to be more explosive. You want to kind of maximize his ability. And to me, he's a guy that I think it would be excellent. So again, like, there are some issues with him, and there's the, and again, I want to bring this up because it's important to understand this. He wouldn't be available if there weren't issues, like, just to be clear, right? And like, we're acknowledging that. However, like, in the, like, even if he plays like he did in 2023, like, he will be a huge positive, net positive for this offense, especially for a fifth round pick. And everyone talks about the cost, and I understand he's making a lot of money, but really, like, that's a very competitive receiver number. I think he's like the 19th or 20th highest paid receiver in the NFL. So it's not like you're
17 million and it's a 1 year commitment, and yeah, you're about to unload John at 16 and a half. Like, if they wind up getting a fifth for John Allen, which I don't know if is going to happen, but let's pretend for a second, you would have had a wash on the picks and basically traded Debo and $500,000 for John Allen.
Right. And I think
I'll take that for this team 10 out of 10 times.
And especially if you can get him. And again, like, I'm not saying he was bad in 2024. I think the whole offense was struggling in 2024 and it didn't maximize anybody, you know? And so, but in 2023, like, man, he did some, like, really special stuff. Like, I don't like to overhype guys, but I was watching the film. I was like, man, that's an incredible play. And it was like a couple of plays later, oh, that's an incredible play. And it was like, that's who he was. He had like a 6 or 7 game stretch in 23 where he just looked dominant. And it's not like he's running this. It's not like watching Justin Jefferson. It's like, here's a slammer screen, like a screen at the line of scrimmage where like Trent Williams is going to come out and block for you. And I'm going to make the first guy miss. Trent's going to block the second guy. I'm going to outrun this dude, stiff arm this guy, and then run for a touchdown. And I was like, man, like, guy, like, his hit rate on that play was tremendous. It really was like a running back running it. Like, that's how good he was at it. And so, again, we run a lot of bubbles. We run a lot of screens. The Commanders do. The other thing that he did was, like, there was a couple times where they're running, like, what I would call spot, you know, corner, sit, flat. And he's wide open, catches the ball, and he breaks that off for 40 yards. And just having a guy who is that physically strong and that dynamic, and again, he's got to be healthy, he's got to be in shape, all those things have to hit. But I do think, like, if you get, again, even a version, it's not like, I heard a lot of people saying, oh, we need to get the version from 2021. No.
That dude's never coming back.
If you get the dude from 2023, You're stoked offensively. If you're Cliff Kingsbury, you're stoked with this. Because again, it just raises the floor of the stuff that you do so well, the stuff that Jaden does so well. And I think about how accurate and quick Jaden is with the football. Like, that's going to help him be a better version of himself, which is also very exciting. So initially I was kind of like, oh, he's a little bit older, a little bit banged up, a little bit overweight, like didn't play well last year. But then I thought about it and I was like, this could be a really, really nice fit. And again, it's got to work out, but it could be a really, really nice fit for the Commanders.
Here's the other thing with the Commanders and the way they run their offense. The versatility to do different stuff formationally without changing the people on the field, right? Not the same personnel, but or same people, what feels to the defense like different personnel. Mm-hmm. That was a huge feature for them last year. Mm-hmm. Is Eckler a receiver or a running back? Is Zach Ertz a receiver or a tight end? Like, how are we treating him? Debo can play running back. Debo can play receiver. He can play outside. He can play inside. Like, what do you treat him as? And they have, and that was the whole idea of getting, like, Ben Sinnott was, is he a fullback or is he a tight end? Like, it's another chess piece where they can go without changing personnel while in hurry up from, you know, two backs in the backfield. Either one is a full, like, fullback running back or two tailbacks back there, to five wide without changing anybody, without subbing, making sure the defense can't sub either, and trying to get optimal looks to run the football or optimal looks to pass the football, depending on which one they catch the defense in. So, like, it is the kind of piece that Cliff was unbelievable at using last year. And again, if they get even 2023 version of Debo, then it's the best version of that piece that they've probably had. And they, again, had a top 10 offense and went to the NFC Championship game last year.
And I think also, like, one of the things we've talked about too is just, like, making sure you can compete with better teams as you move into 2025. And I think this is again, if he plays the way he did in 2023, this is going to do that for you. It raises the floor of your offense. Again, remember, explosive plays lead to touchdown. You've got a guy who can generate explosive plays in the context of your offense as it currently exists. And so I think that's where I get really excited thinking of that with Cliff. And I get excited thinking about Cliff and Cliff's ability to seemingly identify what people do well, you know, understanding how to use John Bates, understanding how to use Zach Ertz, Terry McLaurin, Austin Eckler, right? Understanding how to use OZ, like the route tree kind of changes when it's Noah Brown or when it's OZ or when it's Diami. Like, that's a skill, man. And that really helps maximize. So that's another thing that makes me feel very confident is saying, like, oh, he's a versatile chess piece that I don't think could go anywhere. But I do think coming here with this offense and this offensive staff can help mold and find a role for him and help build a relationship between him and Jaden in the context of what they already do that's going to maximize not only Debo, but the entire offense.
All right, so let's address the elephant in the room. What do we make of the conditioning issues he's had and some of the other, you know, the things that have made him available?
Yeah, I mean, you got to trust that. I think that's one of the reasons you're not, you know, like, I just read an article before we got on about how, like, they're not going to give him an extension, right? Extension's kind of pending or whatever. I think that's smart. I think you want to kind of find ways to motivate him as best as possible. I think they're saying, if I'm Adam, and I have no idea what Adam's saying, but, like, if I'm him, if I'm putting the GM hat on, I would say, like, hey, man, we love what you're doing. We really want to make sure we get the best of you. We want to give you an extension, but you need to show us that you're willing and motivated to get this done. And I think that's probably smart with a guy like this, because, you know, I know a lot of people because I played there for a little bit. I know a lot of people there on the staff and in the locker room. You know, they say Debo's a great dude, but the weight issue is a conversation that comes up every time I talk to them, right? It's just something that he's going to have to deal with. And I've played with guys, you've probably coached people, that it's just part of the deal, right? And, like, you as a staff and as a community here in Washington, you have to understand that. And so how do you make sure he's motivated to be in shape and keep the weight off and stay in shape for the season? Because that's a big deal, man. Because when you watch him in, at certain points in his career, you can tell he's getting a little heavy. You can tell he's a little bit lighter, and it really affects how he plays, you know? So, again, like talking with Santana about it, Santana was a guy that later in his career had issues with his weight. He's like, it's a big deal. You just got to find that thing that motivates you to be the best version of yourself. And so that's something that, again, you trust Dan, you trust the strength staff, you trust the athletic training staff, that they can find ways to communicate and motivate him and help him with his goals. Because ultimately, if he's that guy that we saw at points in 2023, man, like, this is definitely going to be worth it.
Here's the other thing I'll say too on this issue. Like, and this is extraordinarily human on top of being something from an athletic standpoint. Like, weight management, especially once you're not 22 anymore, like, hard. It's hard. It's really, really hard. And I've dealt with, like when I've had different performance goals and want trying to drop or add weight. I've had clients, same thing on the fitness side of things. And sometimes it's not really motivation. Sometimes it's routine and strategy. Right, it's not, hey, dude, like, you got contract dangling out there. And sometimes it is. It's not like sometimes there is that relationship. And look, you know, disordered eating and stuff is like a whole separate thing. So like, yeah, on the general population, we're dealing with something that's much more serious often. And athletes, it can be as well. So it's worth saying that on like a human level. But like, a lot of it can just be strategy of, okay, can we set you up with a routine that works for you? It's not necessarily playing into your motivation. It's like, okay, what do you need? What works for your body? Here's the meal plan. Can we get you a chef? Can we, all right, we'll have these meals available for you at the facility. And then can you, when you're not at the facility, can you either have the chef or get it delivered, or can your wife cook? Like, can you cook? Like, however it is that you got to get it done, it's just getting the strategy right. And hopefully here they can do that. Again, it's part strength staff and part of the workout size. But really, if we're talking about weight, it's probably more diet and discipline. And that comes again to the strategy of setting up a plan that works for the player and the athlete. And I know, you know, where Debo works out. I know who he works out with down there at Exos. Nick Hill is one of the absolute best. And they have a tremendous relationship down there. So like, what is Debo doing to make sure that when he's at Exos down in Phoenix, or when he's whatever else he is this offseason, when he eventually moves here, that he has the resources and the plan to stick to that at this stage of his life as he enters his 30s, now at age 29, where we all know that you know, the metabolism starts to slow a little bit, and that's just a reality of being a human being, and being a professional athlete does not change that at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, when I say strength staff, like, they have an RD on staff there that works with them, right? So like, that's a big deal.
Registered dietitian for those not in the acronym loop.
So I do think the Washington Commanders, like, you know, Chad, you know, the whole staff there, they're really well equipped to handle this stuff. And so again, that environment, and also the environment that Dan has done a great job cultivating, you know, Adam's relationship with him, I think that all is going to help him be the best version of himself. I think also being motivated is a big deal, you know, maybe not with the weight, but just from a play standpoint. So I think all those things will factor in. And I, you know, I think also Dan's done a great job with guys who are a little bit older, a little bit more tread on the tire. And I don't want to be saying that like Debo's old, but his play style kind of lends it to being a little bit older. But he understands, like, look at how Zach Ertz kind of has this resurgence here, because they do a great job of kind of saying, hey, you need to take a vet day, you need to take a rest day, we need to take kind of a walkthrough day for you. Same thing with Bobby. And I think you could kind of put him in a similar bucket, again, to make sure that he's at the best, that he's at his best for this season. So I'm really excited. Ultimately, if they use him the way I think they will use him, and I have the utmost confidence Cliff understands that as well, just because he's such a smart guy. So I think this environment here is perfect for him. And I think it's going to help maximize him and maximize this offense, which is ultimately the goal.
All right. So to summarize, there's the negatives, the positives, everything. Net, net, what are the Commanders getting in Debo Samuel?
Yeah. So I think about one of the things that I found worrisome is the wrong word, but just kind of a red light, you know, when you're kind of looking at the data, right? This is, again, they outperformed the data. They did a great job. Super impressed with Jaden and the offense in general, right? But when you look at one of the things that just was a little bit worrisome is the number of kind of 18 play drives, 16 play drives, right? Those are traditionally not things that you can maintain over the course of the year, right? And so, you know, talked to our buddy Sam Fortier. He sent me some stats because he's so good at that stat stuff. And I was like, you know, where did they rank in terms of explosive passing plays? They were 30th in the NFL last year, right? Whew. Which means that they had to go on all of these long drives, right? They had to kind of...
And then convert in the red zone, which is really hard.
Again, so now you've added a piece that can manufacture explosives, right? We just talked about how he had 26 in 2023 and 19 last year. Like, and again, these are not like deep downfield shots. They kind of come off stuff that you do already. So you can still do the same high percentage stuff that Jaden Daniels is great at, but now you could just kind of tip that deck in your favor a little bit more and say, we don't have to be super consistent because Debo can find us one explosive, two explosives. I mean, yeah, two explosives a game, right? And if they're, and for him, they're 30-yard gains on a 5-yard out. Like, that's the type of stuff we're talking about here. And so that's the thing that I think makes this feel like such a natural fit is one of the weaknesses offensively last year was the lack of consistent explosives down the field. And now you've got a guy who, within the context of what you were doing last year, can provide those explosives. And I think that's the thing that gets me so excited is it's like you've identified a weakness. You're aware of the weakness. Again, it speaks to Adam, Dan, Cliff, the whole staff. And they say, this is a piece that helps us with this right now.
Right. And it's low risk stuff. It's not like you're having to chuck the ball 60 yards down the field. It's like, hey, we're going to try to hit a screen or hey, we're going to hit a slant. Oh, darn, he didn't break the tackle. It's a 4-yard gain. Like, okay, we're in 2nd and 6. Excellent. Like, we can take with that. So those types of things are great. And yeah, again, the awareness that they have and the holes they try to fill, how he fits with Terry too. Like, they're very, very different receivers in a way that's beautifully complementary. And then I think it's going to be fun to see how they fill in the gaps in free agency. By the way, free agency opens March 12th is the official date of the league year. So I think the 10th then is the legal tampering period. All these dates are jumbled in my head, but I know the 12th is the start of the league year. So look for the Commanders to announce this trade then when the league year officially opens here in a couple of weeks.